think that racism should be addressed, and or systemic racism should be addressed in the city of Boston, and also should be addressed in the United States. However, I do not like the manner it was brought up in terms of centering around a playoff game. It bothers me if the construct of racism, right, is used as a crutch or an opportunity to execute a personal gain. I'm not saying that's the case, but I do think racism right now is bigger than basketball. I do think racism is bigger than game three of the playoffs.
The danger of playing just 30 seconds of what Jaylen Brown had to say, the danger of playing any piece of what anybody's had to say over this past week is that it is the tip of the sword. And Jaylen Brown had a lot more to say just before the game. He spoke about 20 minutes ago here at TD Garden. First time we've heard from him for a while, and it's a perfect day to hear from him. It's a perfect day in a lot of ways to hear from everybody on a topic that is so much more important, that has hijacked this game, and maybe rightly so. Welcome back to Star Market Celtics Tonight. Max, someone said to me, have fun calling the game tonight. And I said, I don't see this as fun. This has become a town hall. And it maybe when the game gets going, it'll feel different. But it wasn't. It was one guy that turned this week into a town hall with his choice of words the other
night. Well, I think that that happens sometimes in the beginning of a game. But once a game gets started, then you fall back into the natural flow of what the game is going to be. Will people boo Kyrie? Yes, they will. But will anything happen here in Boston? I can't imagine with all the security, all the cameras, all the things going on right now. And bigger than that, Boston fans, well, Celtic fans, let's say this, Celtic fans have always been classy fans.
And in my, this is my view and my opinion, it doesn't have to be anybody else's, I believe it was a calculated decision by Kyrie to play that card the other night in an attempt to deflect from what he has been anticipating. Listen, do you have a body of evidence that is beyond circumstantial that he has dodged his return to different cities throughout the course? He didn't go back to Cleveland except that one game. He missed 8 games in a row. He didn't come back here last year in the 2 games when he didn't have Kevin Durant and James Harden playing with him, and obviously didn't play in front of fans earlier this year. I thought it was tone deaf at some level. I thought it was irresponsible. This is me talking, just me. And I realize what it is that I look like in the mirror, but this is still my opinion for whatever it is worth. I thought it was borderline cowardice on his part to go in this direction before this game, when everybody knows it was going to be an ugly return for him to Boston whenever it happened. This has been anticipated for 2 years. And so when you say, the reason I bring that up is because when you say it's going to be bad for Kyrie, I ask, is it going to be as bad as it would have been 3 days ago? Or are fans, some fans, going to be affected by the discussion of this week and not want to be painted with this brush that people externally outside the city, instead of realizing that there are morons everywhere in every city,
let me say this,
that to paint a city with one brush is insanity.
Let me say this. If I bought a ticket and it was $150, I could give a rip what somebody was thinking about me. If I want to boo, I'm going to boo. And whatever it is you hear in this building, but here's the thing I really believe. Kyrie didn't have to say that. It didn't have to say anything about let's keep it. You can say keep it classy, you know, whatever it is. But racial? I mean, and a lot of people saying, well, if he gets booed, people are going to say that was right. No, it's not. It's nothing to do with race. It's the fact that they are very disappointed about what happened with Kyrie, and he's now fueled the fire even more. And his boy Durant comes in the background and starts saying, well, everybody knows the ball. And you played in OKC of all places. Come on, man.
Well, and it's interesting that Kevin Durant chose those particular words, saying everybody knows, because 2 years ago, a player on the Celtics was asked about those incidences after there was an alleged incident here with DeMarcus Cousins, which was not backed up by the security tapes, but it was clear that DeMarcus Cousins was on the wrong end of some verbal abuse and a fan got suspended 2 years from the Garden for it, even if no racial incident was found. Yeah. But one of the Celtics players was asked about that and said, I have never personally experienced it or heard of people, heard of that. You know who said that? Kyrie Irving said it when he was playing for the Celtics 2 years ago. But now, 2 years later, even though he's never played another game here, remarkably, that story, 72 hours before his return, changed.
Well, it changed, but it shouldn't have changed. Because it was one time I heard that Marcus Smart said that he heard. Marcus Smart never said. He said he heard that in other arenas, not in this arena. And let me just say this. And people might look at me whatever way they want to look at. I really don't care. I played here for 8 years. I've been broadcasting for 26 years. I have never heard any fans use one of those words, the N-word in particular, here in this building. Now, did it happen over it at over there at the Red Sox? Supposedly it did. Did it happen during the Bruins game where I heard? Maybe it did. But here in the Celtics building, it has not happened where I've heard it.
And maybe I'm not supposed to say this, but I'll say it anyway. By the law of large numbers, of course it's happened. Of course it's happened here. When you put 20,000 people in a building, there are going to be morons. There are going to be racists. There are going to be bad people in the group. What we've learned, certainly what I have learned over the last year, is that one person in a group of 20,000 can ruin everything. One person in a room of 1,000 people with COVID, guess what? It's going to give COVID to a lot of people in that room. One person at a rally over the summer that starts a riot and sets a car on fire then makes that cause and that issue, there was a riot. So one person can do an awful lot of damage. I think we have to stop running from it, particularly when I think there's a defensive nature when this happens about Boston that I think people get too defensive about it. Of course it happens here. It happens everywhere. Let's stop it.
Look, I'm sick, and I'll go on the other side. I'm sick and tired of hearing about Boston being a racial in charge, Boston has a monopoly on racism. It doesn't. It does not. Boston does not. Let me make sure that everybody hears, this is me seeing as a black man. No, it does not. Is it things racial about this entire country? Yeah, but Boston isn't the epicenter for all this. Just look at what happened to Dominique Wilkins. He was in Atlanta, and this is a black city, and he couldn't go into a restaurant there to eat. So let's get off this whole thing about Boston has a monopoly on racism. Let's just drop that right now.
We've had real life incidents this week in Washington, Utah, and New York, and yet it is the reputation that continues to be an issue. So
I don't even know why it's the reputation. I don't even understand why it is a reputation that Boston is this place. I don't understand that.
That's another topic for another time. And obviously there are legitimate issues. I find there is a almost bipolar view nationally of Boston, and I often wonder, which is it? Is Boston the place with the poor racial history and Tom Yawkey saying, get those people off my field, and being the last team in baseball to sign an African-American player, the incident at Government Center with the American flag? Or is Boston the overwhelmingly Democratic, liberal, left center of the Black Lives Matter movement where the Celtics were the first team in the NBA to integrate? Which is it? Because it seems to me it's whichever advances your argument you choose.
It's in the middle of both of those. The Boston Celtics are the first team to have a black coach, a black starting five, the first black player in the NBA. Red Auerbach, the only color he saw was green, and that was about winning. So,
by the way, Branch Rickey did too, by the way.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.